My name's Dan Abnett, and I will be attending the Black Library Expo at Chestermere on the 6th and 7th of October this year. I hope to see everyone there.
The Emperor expects, right, Dan?
Considering that, was it nine of us are coming all the way from Fething, England to Alberta to do this, I think the least you can Fething well do is show up and say hello to us.
ChestermereExpo.ca. Pour something flammable into your glass because it's AI brought a bottle to the podcast type of day. This is Jaded Gamercast.
Ooh.
You can hear I'm pouring it right now. My name is Lang. With me as always is Nathan. We had some very interesting pictures come out this week, and there's definitely a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we're going to get there.
I think I don't know, how could we not get there? I think everyone's kind of been waiting for this for the 6th edition box set, the starter kit, to come out. I think it's very interesting because there's a lot of things about the pictures that we've seen from the White Dwarfs that I kind of have to tilt my head at in that slightly perplexed, confusing, inquisitive sort of look as I sit there and stare at these really shitty pictures that are up on the internet. And it's not just the fashion problems. It's a whole bunch of different things, but obviously I think we'll have more than enough to fill an episode there. There's also been some other very interesting new releases with Firestorm Armada, but let's talk about what we did this week in hobby. Nathan, kick us off.
Ooh, I have built more of an Aquan Prime Dreadnought. That's about it. You know, I actually stopped by Imaginary Wars yesterday, hoping that the rest of my Aquan fleet for the tournament has come in, because as of right now I have a Dreadnought. No luck yet, so here's hoping they come in soon.
There
so
you
that
go.
That way I can paint them with an airbrush. And
have you gotten any Firestorm games in?
No, I haven't, because you have to remember, my Dindrenzi I only have about 500 points of, which is just the starter fleet, and for my Aquan Prime, the entirety of my fleet at this point is a half-built Dreadnought. So
your wife's not giving you her stuff?
She totally would, but it's all the starter box stuff, right? You know, and nothing against it, but it's just like, you know, there's no heavy cruisers, there's
she
no
had a
Mark
Manta, twos. Though.
It's true, and if I was gonna go for the same style that I do with my Dindrenzi of double battleship, holy shit, yes. But I don't think that most fleets need a Dreadnought and a battleship, Matt.
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of an interesting point because I've obviously, as we talked about in previous shows, I am running a Firestorm Armada tournament at Imaginary Wars in Calgary, Alberta. It'll be 1,000 points. There is a Facebook group if you look for Storm Zone Carnage, because, I mean, what else are you going to name a tournament other than some acronym for battle? Or, you know, go check your thesaurus and figure out something that isn't just like Storm Zone Tournament, because that would be gay. No, it's Storm Zone Carnage on Facebook. If you go check it out, we're looking for 12 seats. There's a bunch of people already trying to get into it, so I suspect those tickets will sell pretty quick. But for me, I had a bunch of people over. We played some Firestorm. More people bitched and complained about the Reloza, strangely. You know, I got to get a rematch against Matt's RSN. He had virtually the same list, except he had, three Destroyers this time, and I crushed him. I think by the time the game was over, he had killed a cruiser and two frigates. Oof. So I was pretty happy with that one. We were kind of playtesting some stuff. But the hilarious thing is I'm trying to playtest some of the stuff that I'm setting up for the tournament, right? So I had a bunch of people over, and I had them play the only scenario that I'm actually worried about being maybe a little bit unbalanced. And in
the last one?
The last one, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And in both of those situations, James crushed Aaron's Reloza. To the point where he didn't even get a chance to board any of the gun satellites. And then in my game against Matt, the very first thing Matt does is just blow up the satellites. And I'm just like, okay, well, I guess that doesn't really tell me much about this scenario. So maybe we'll have to just see what else we can pull out of our asses.
Yeah, but that's Matt's scorched
that is
earth
Matt's,
kind of,
yes.
You know, where it's just like, well, wait, you mean
he's like, nobody
give
gets
you a
anything.
Bigger victory? Fuck that.
Nobody gets anything. Fuck you. And that was pretty much what it came down to, which was pretty
and
funny.
This- This is why we don't have nice things.
Well, and that's exactly it. I've been painting up my Directorate Dreadnought and getting my Terrans all put together, cleaned up and primed, so I can start painting my Terrans as soon as that Directorate Dreadnought and the two R&D ships are done. I got one more R&D ship done, so I'm pretty happy with that. Nice. Outside of that, no 40K, no fantasy. It's really been just a lot of Firestorm, which is I have no problem with that because it's been a lot of fun. Okay, so let's get into higher learning for this week, which is, as we have been kind of bouncing around since 6th edition came out, we're going to dive right into Dark Eldar. Nathan, why don't you start us off with higher learning for Dark Eldar?
Sure. Basically, not a lot has really changed for them because, I mean, the inclusion of hull points is a game mechanic that really kind of hurts armies whose transports would live beyond a single shot anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the fact that all the Dark Eldar, you know, vehicles, Venoms, you know, Raiders, Jesus Christ. This is the problem.
What are you drinking? Are you just drinking beer?
Yeah, I do just have bacon maple ale, but I don't understand why I'm so scattered. Is this because we're doing it on, like, a Friday instead of our usual Saturday?
I don't know what it is. Here, how about I start in and you just tell me how wrong I am? Okay, so what it really seems like for 6th edition for the Dark Eldar is that their core mechanic is not changing. You are going to be relying on a mix of close combat with support shooting. You're going to be relying on flyers. Obviously, they've got great flyers that are going to work very well for them. But the whole idea of trying to make sure that you're stacking your pain points and taking advantage of everything that's going to allow you to do that is still going to be important. The Talos, I think, comes out being a little bit better than it was before, which is really nice, or at least a little bit more versatile than it was before. But outside of that, I mean, anything that was good before is still good now. Anything that was kind of shitty and pointless before is still kind of shitty and pointless.
Yeah, you know, yes.
Like Mandrakes. Mandrakes didn't suddenly get better.
No.
Unfortunately.
There is nothing that is going to
be. When are they ever going to get that shit right?
The moment they let Dan Abnett write the rules. Because, yes. Good Lord, Gaunt's Ghost Mandrake? Come on.
If only.
Right?
At least give us a fucking special character.
Right. Okay, so I mean, for me, I think the only things that I want to add in for that is in terms of new units that not a lot of people really took that I think that we're going to start seeing quite a bit, Void Raven Bombers. Now, I do know that one of the biggest reasons people aren't taking them is there's no model for it currently.
Right.
But I have always felt that the Void Raven compared to the Razorwing, point for point, considering they're the exact same number of points, the Void Raven is just better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, you know, you've got better armor, and considering the fact that, you know, as flyers, it's a vehicle. You want a higher armor value, so that way your hull points aren't getting stripped off, especially right. on those fluky sixes. You know, mm-hmm. the last thing you want is a unit to double tap bolters and get lucky and drop a flyer. Which is possible with the Razorwing. The Void Raven, though, having the big fucking strength 9 lances, the fact that flyers can go straight into having Skyfire special rules and shoot down other flyers, I really just think that having a pair of strength 9 lances that can be versatile enough to either hunt regular armor or switch and hunt down other flyers is great.
Yeah, I think that's a good point.
Combine that with the fact that you have the Void Mine, which is basically if you move over something, you can drop the mine on it, which is just a dark lance that scatters. Before, when you move 12, now that you're a flyer, can move 36 and still shoot, it's a lot more versatile. You can still take your missiles. So, I mean, for me, I think Void Raven is something that either people are going to start buying Forge World Eldar flyers, which are gorgeous, and fielding, or as soon as Games Workshop releases a kit, you're just going to see everyone's Razor Wings go away.
Well, and that's been the big thing between Games Workshop and Forge World on a business level, is that they really have avoided that exact thing in the last 2 years. You know, with 6th edition making Void Ravens great, obviously Forge World is going to say to Games Workshop, you know, don't make your own kit. We're selling a ton of these. It was the same way with the Rhinox Cav for the Ogres. That's why they made Retardo Cats. You know, it was very much just a business decision between them and Forge World, where they say, well, listen, if you release this model, we're just going to stop selling it altogether, right?
And then they screwed, and then Games Workshop said, fine, we won't release that model, and we won't even give you fucking rules.
Well.
Fuck you, we're Games Workshop.
Fuck both of you. Well, yeah. I mean, Forge World had come up with their own rules. But again, this isn't like one of those equal relationships. This is a relationship where like Forge World is a beaten housewife just pleading, could you just stop hitting me? And they're just like, yeah, maybe tonight. You know, but that's pretty much what that
maybe
comes
you can
down
get
to.
Me a beer.
Right. Okay, but.
But no, the other thing that I want to add, I mean, other than, you know, units that, like I said, I really think that the Void Raven, you're going to start to see in a lot more lists, because with flyer rules being great, the fact that it is the same number of points for just a downright better flyer, I think, you know, like I said, you're really going to see that come up in terms of play. But the other thing that you do have to keep in mind, though, is with the changes to Feel No Pain, 4+ down to a 5+, Dark Eldar lists that used to sort of bank on some level of survivability by starting units with homunculi to steal pain tokens and hanking big blobs, they have to be a lot more careful. They have to start, you know, using cover, and even beyond that, cover itself has changed to the point where everything isn't a blanket 4+. So I think that those two changes are going, you're going to start to see less of a reliance on sort of big block troops. Because, don't get me wrong, it's not that Dark Eldar took a lot of them, but I mean, a lot of very successful 5th Ed Dark Eldar lists would be very, very vehicle heavy, with that one sort of 20-man warrior squad camping a backfield objective, dropping Dark Lance fire with Feel No Pain. Because Feel No Pain and cover, they were almost fucking unkillable. You're not going to see that. I think you're right, though. Talos got a big boost. Jet bikes, yeah, because now they're even faster.
Faster to go with the fact that they automatically have the cover save just for moving, not for only turbo boosting, which was always the biggest problem with any sort of toughness 3 jet bike that moved up to toughness 4. Is it just wasn't enough of a defense to actually keep them on the table reliably. Now, for the points that you're paying for them, they are pretty discount. You know, you compare them to a lot of other jet bikes in the game, and they're actually relatively cheap. You know, they're right up there with the Orc biker boys, right?
Yeah, regular biker models.
Regular bikes. But again, like you said, the additional speed, you got great weapon options, you get good bonuses. So, I mean, I really feel like anybody playing Dark Eldar who aren't running a good squad of 10 of those guys is really kind of missing out on a real good potential, you know, hinge to your army list and having it really perform, or at least taking the focus off of a lot of the other shit in your army that's pretty paper thin.
Yeah, and I mean, especially because they have that sort of scythe attack on those bikes. So I mean, I think that's very good. The only other thing that I really want to kind of talk about in terms of Dark Eldar, though, is the changes to Webway Portal armies.
Yep.
Now with it's funny, 6th edition giveth and taketh away. it does.
That's Games Workshop as a whole.
Right? At least they're
you like those rules? Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, at least they're consistent. Because I mean, one of the things that I said numerous times about 5th edition Dark Eldar and Webway Portalists in particular was, the Dark Eldar's inability to boost their reserve rolls always made it such a huge gamble. I mean, you know, only getting half of your shit out on turn 2, if you get the wrong stuff, you've got a fragile army. You know, so it's just like it never had the reliability. Now, that's obviously fixed because reserves are 3+, 3+ automatic. So, I mean, you're getting more of your units out turn 2, which is great. But then Games Workshop taketh away. You can't actually assault out of reserve. So now, if you are thinking about doing a Webway Portal army, you're basically gonna just be packing it full of shooting units. That's where you're gonna see the 20-man warrior squad to be able to walk out and unleash their poison.
Yep.
That's where you're gonna see. I think Kronos Pain Engines are going to be very popular to come out of Webway portals, because basically all this is you know, the toughness 7 shooty monstrous creature that can hand out pain tokens. And just shoots a crap ton of AP3 guns, you know? So, I mean, like I said, I think that's what those are the kind of units you're going to start to see if players choose to go with Webway Portals. Because honestly, I think that not being able to assault out of it might be a big enough drawback that people may not even really choose to do it. Because you still have to remember, the Webway Portal itself is still 35 points on top of the cost of a character. You need a delivery method. So, I mean, whereas before you could say the Webway Portal was this great way for me to sneak on reserves, because you didn't have to declare that they were coming through the portal. You could just say, hey, they're in reserve. And then even beyond that, again, you know, this sort of other thing, you cannot have more than half your force in reserve anymore. So, I mean, you know, like I said, it's just like before, if a Dark Eldar army was being sneaky, you'd deploy that one unit, you'd drop a portal, you'd, you know, have everything sort of come out surprise, you'd charge, right. You'd do all these great things. It was a really good shock and awe kind of tactic. Now, how realistically, how good is half a Dark Eldar army going to face against a full army of most anything?
Yeah.
You know, especially since flyers have to start in reserve. So even if you are taking a Void Raven or two or a Razor Wing or two, you know, they have to start in reserve. So you're already down those different units. And so, you know, when it comes down to it, do you really just want to deploy with three Raiders and right. units? And, you know,
well,
so I mean,
I don't know, man. I mean, really, I understand what you're saying. I don't necessarily disagree. I think one of the weird things with 6th edition, I mean, we've kind of talked about this before, at least I have, is that a lot of those combat armies do have to kind of decide the type of combat army that they're trying to build. Is it a turn 2 combat army? Is it a turn 3 combat army? And, you know, I think, can you build an effective turn 3 combat army with that type of list? Maybe. I mean, yes and no, depending on how you're deploying, depending on what kind of tactics you're using. But really, I mean, I don't think that we're suddenly going to start seeing all of these tricky goat boy lists with the Dark Eldar saying, like, oh, here's how you win with Webway Portal. Like, it really is going to be the type of thing where somebody's doing it just to, you know, have their little gypsy tricks and, oh, okay. Look at Talos, you know.
Can I recant something?
Why? Why Sorry, the hell not?
I'll just edit it out. Heyo. No, I mean, just thinking about it while you're talking, I was trying to think. I'm just like, you know what? When would I use a Webway? And really, what it comes down to is if you had 35 points left, and you wouldn't mind having a unit come out. But then I realized flyers have to start in reserve.
Yep.
Never mind. Vehicles can't come out the Webway portal. That's in the codex. Never mind. Because I was going to say you could always cheat and have your flyer shoot out the Webway portal, but that was the last codex. I loved that Webway portal. Sure, it cost 50 points, but fuck, you could just have a raider scream out of the portal with slave chains hitting everyone in between.
Brilliant.
No, but I mean, you know, I think what it's going to come down to is if someone wants to take Talos on Kronos, you know, that basically the toughness 7 monsters in the heavy slot, they will probably take a Webway portal. But when you look at the other options for heavy being two different types of flyers and a Ravager, I think the question is going to be who is really going to take a Talos. And I right. think that's inherently going to be the problem and the big reason why you're just not going to see a lot of Webway Portal army lists. And I think that that is something about 6th edition.
Outside of this last version before 6th edition came out, I mean, that was the first time Dark Eldar ever had a viable Webway Portal. You know, and suddenly having it go back to kind of the way that it was, where Games Workshop is basically saying, like, oh, no, it's there. It's there for theme, but we definitely don't want you to be using it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think, you know, I think all it really comes down to is there's no model for it.
Hey-o.
That's why they don't care.
Oh yeah,
it's like, how do we sell a Webway Portal model? Fuck it, it sucks. Matt Ward, make it terrible. Do it.
Right.
All right, so let's get in here to the main topic for today's show, which is the Dark Vengeance Warhammer 40,000 starter kit, just hilarious, I guess. Okay, so I'm going to break this down for anybody who hasn't seen it yet. If you would like to see pictures of it, you can see pictures that have been linked to our Facebook group. So it's just Jaded Gamercast on Facebook. But this is Chaos versus Dark Angels, and it is fucking hilarious. You get a Chaos Dreadnought. You seem to get 20 cultists. You get 5 Chosen. You get 2 characters. You get a Chaos Lord. I think you get a Chaos something or another else. I think it's just a Chosen Champion.
Right.
And then for the Dark Angel side, you get 3 bikes. You get a, I don't know, that's got to be a captain or an emperor's champion or something. You also get what appears to be 4 to 5 Terminators. It's hard to tell because the page is kind of crinkled, but I think it's 5 Terminators.
Yep.
And then you also get 10 Marines, and it's 10 Dark Angel Marines with a plasma cannon, which is nice. At least they're staying on point with that.
Plasma cannon, plasma gun, and then the sergeant has a plasma pistol,
which is perfect. I mean, plasma. Who doesn't love it?
Plasma.
They're gonna have a hard time dealing with flyers, but hey, there you go. But really, okay. What I find interesting about this, and again, I don't want to get right into the fashion. Okay, I don't want to get. We're gonna get into that
low hanging fruit.
Oh, I can't wait to get into that. What really seems to make me kind of tilt my head in confusion at this is the amount of copying and pasting that we're seeing for this release, right? Like, if you switch ahead to the pictures of the cultist unit, and they've got like two units of cultists, they got your close combat cultists and they got your regular cultists, there's a lot of duplicate poses and there's a lot of copying and pasting. Like, they copy and paste two specific models. Two of them, they just take pictures at different angles. And like a couple of them are the same pose, just painted in different colors. And then on the bottom, my God, it's much the same.
In the top, the dude's top row second from the left is also bottom row second from the right.
Yeah, is the best model in that kit as far as I'm concerned. I love S&M Traitor Guard.
I don't know. I like the Cultist Champion with Shotgun only because he's wearing the ripped Commissar cape.
Oh, you mean the Bane vest?
Yes, the Bane vest.
Oh, pop that collar. you're not a evil Batman villain unless you pop that fucking collar. No, but you
don't
know,
you forget it.
Exactly. But the weird thing is like what we are seeing is a champion and what looks to be about six poses.
Oh my God, yeah, because see, I think like when you look at the shooting one, you do have a little more diversity, because I count one duplicate, two duplicates. You're right, they did change it. They did just change the angle. Yeah. You're right. So you have the champion, the heavy stubber, and then you have one, two, three, four guys.
And the heavy stubber guy is the heavy flamer guy.
Yes, he sure is. And then the close comp, yeah.
See, and what's frustrating about that, what really makes it bad, is that cultists, because they didn't go with traitor guard, they said these guys are cultists, which is fine. And it's nice to actually have like proper cultist models that don't look like fucking KKK rejects. But really, it's like it's this idea that like anybody who's going to take these in their army is going to want to take a large quantity of them. I suspect that when the Chaos Space Marines Codex comes out, you're going to be able to take a unit of 30 of those guys if you want to. That's a lot of the same pose over and over again. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know people will kind of turn around and say, yeah, but I'd rather have these nice, dynamic, cool looking detailed poses other than just Cadians with las guns aimed at different levels. You know, and fair enough. But really, it's strange to me, because somebody was saying to me earlier today, because we were talking about this box set, and he said, oh, I love those cultists, man. I can't wait to get them in there. You know, I really like the idea of being able to take them because I play Night Lords and it fits and it's blah, blah, blah. And I kind of pointed this out to him, and he was just like, what, do you think it was just lazy? Like, what do you think? Why would they copy and paste this? Like, this is a big release. You know, this is the one they want everybody to buy. This is the one that they sell more of than anything else. And he had said, oh, I hope those cultists come out in a box of their own. But they're not going to. And I think this is the evidence. Because Games Workshop, for these starter kits, in order to keep the prices low, they cram as much onto those sprues as possible. I mean, look at the last starter box for 40K. Look at the starter box for 8th edition. They cram a ridiculous amount of stuff into one large sprue, there is no wasted space.
No, so, absolutely not. And it's never just one unit. You know, all the cultists on here. Like, when you get it, you're going to have, you know, probably... I mean, I think, if anything, the Chaos Dreadnought might be separate, but otherwise you're going to have, like, Johnny Marine on here with cultists and this and that. But, I mean, the other proof that they're never going to release a box set of it is when you look at the 8th edition one. You know, the High Elves in the 8th edition starter set are phenomenal. It's probably the best High Elf models that Games Workshop has.
No, you're wrong. The best High Elf model that Games Workshop has is that Dark Angels champion. He looked at Phoenix Guard and said, fuck that. I will not be shown up by fucking pointy-eared bastards. And he said, make my hat twice as tall.
Yeah, the company master, indeed.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But even beyond that, like I said, what you're missing is just this last week, let's go to Warhammer new releases on their website at this moment. I can scroll down, and what's that? $45 for five shit-tastic-looking Citadel Finecast Swordmasters of Hoeth. I mean, shit, if I need 10 of them, I could just buy a starter set for the same price and get the 10 plastic ones.
Yes.
And then I also get Seaguard and a freaking Griffin and all of this
other
shit.
It goes right back to what I said before. Them converting their molds to Finecast costs them nothing. And this whole bullshit line that they fed us about, oh, well, you know, it costs us money to transfer these over. You know, it costs us some money to make these molds into resin. No, bullshit. I wouldn't be surprised if they were the same fucking molds. And they were just like, can we just pump resin into it and see what happens? Yeah, close enough.
Yeah, really? It looks okay. I mean, it looks like shit. Sell it everywhere.
Yeah.
No, so I mean, like, that's the thing where it's just like, eh, like, they're never going to release the cultists, and you're right, I had personally not noticed, because, I mean, I just glanced at them, to be honest, I kind of glanced at everything, and, you know, went, oh,
okay,
neat,
I don't hold it against you.
But yeah, like, seriously, I did not notice that there are basically 10 different poses yep. making up 20 models.
Yep. I have a feeling that, well, what they're showing us there is that, hey, look, everybody, you're going to get 20 guys. Now, what's interesting is if you actually go and to kind of reaffirm this, if you go back to that picture of like the full spread of everything that comes in the box, if you look at the unit that's on the bottom and the unit that's on the top, they are the same 10 models in different arrangement and they're mixed units. They're not the unit with yeah. with auto guns and unit with auto pistol close combat weapon. They are literally a mixed unit of the same ship with a different champion in front of them. So, I mean, as far as I can see with just what I'm looking at right here, you're looking at maybe 5 to 6 poses of cultists with hand close combat weapon and auto pistol and 5 to 6 poses of close or auto gun. And that's really disappointing. You know, I mean, especially when you have all this detail and all this character in these models, you're going to be fighting to make sure that, like, you're not positioning those guys beside each other. You're painting them all up different colors, which people don't like to do. Let's be perfectly honest. People don't like to paint up units where every guy in the unit is a slightly different color, except for Bretonian people, which are just fucking mental.
Oh, but even then with Bretonians, I would say that half of all Bretonian armies I've ever seen are uniform. They're painted so that every single knight is exactly the same color with exactly the same heraldry. And they might change the colors per unit. So all of my knights of the realm are blue with white.
Hey, hold on. There was a really funny thing that we came up with at Warhammered while we were literally just drunk off of our gourds. Is that because I had lost a Saurus Warrior and I was like, who fucking stole my Saurus Warrior? And then somebody was saying, like, oh, you could make an army real quick if just every tournament you went to, you stole a model. And I came back saying, like, yeah, but that would only work for Bretonians. Hey, that's a great idea. And so, like, everyone started, like, looking at the Bretonian armies. We're like, you know, if you steal one knight from a Bretonian army at every tournament you go to, you will get a perfect Bretonian army in, like, a year or two.
You know, it's an excellent point.
It really is.
I think that, you know, but if you're going to do this, not that Jada Gamercast is endorsing.
No, we are not. What do we endorse,
model,
for fuck's sake?
What?
I said, what do we endorse?
It's true.
Other than Dan Abnett.
You know.
And absolutely. The Black Library Expo. Let's cut to commercial. Hi, my name is Lang.
And I'm Nathan.
And we will be attending the Chestermere Black Library Expo on October 6th and 7th, which is the Thanksgiving weekend, which you already have off.
All I know is there's going to be a lot of authors there, and I'm really looking forward to getting Dan
Abnett, Rand McNeil,
Aaron Dembski-Bowden. But anyway, as I said, as many as I can get to sign my chest, I'm a happy man.
I'll actually get a tattoo if Dan writes me into one of his stories. It'll be wherever he wants it. Tickets are $20. You cannot buy tickets at the door. Anybody who wants to support this type of community within Alberta has to come out to this expo. Let's get out here, let's support the community, and let's make this work. Chestermereexpo.ca.
That's awesome. No, but I mean, like, realistically, if you were going to do it, you just want to travel really far. Like, go to a tournament that, like, no one's gonna... There's gonna be lots of players...
Throne of Skulls in Vegas.
It's in Memphis this year. So you go to Memphis, you steal, you know, if there's like 3-4 Bretonian armies, bam, you got half a unit.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go to, like, Nova. If there's like 3-4 Bretonian armies, bam, your unit's done.
Exactly, man. Exactly. That's how you play it. Okay, so what's also interesting about this is you're really not seeing a whole lot of copying and pasting Photoshop happening on the Dark Angel side, which really is, again, very interesting. But let's talk a little bit about the models now. I mean, I think the cultist thing was the only thing that kind of made me go, but outside of that, you know, let's go right into the chaos stuff.
No, I want to back up a second. Seriously, Games Workshop, Marines versus Marines. I mean, I know you're adding cultists to kind of change it up because look, these don't have a 3+ save. But seriously, you know, fifth edition had 2 Xenos releases in the entire span of it. So go fuck yourselves.
No.
Now,
I think it's right.
Why? Because all
I think that's how you should do it.
Yeah. All right. Anyway. Again,
no, because in this particular case, the Space Marines are not the clear choice. And I think that that's the reason why this is actually a good build.
You know,
to have Chaos
actually...
and to have Space Marines in there is actually you're going to be having people buying this for both armies. I mean, there's a lot of Orc players out there. Don't get me wrong. And the Orc shit in that box was amazing because you couldn't get Death Copters any fucking where else. But really, it was
now
like...
you can't get them at all.
Now you can't get them at all, which is awesome. But really, you know, what makes me kind of stop and go, ooh, you know, what I like about this is the fact that people are going to be looking at that Chaos side going, no, that Dreadnought's too sweet. Those bikers look fucking retarded. Do they fly? Is that why they have 12 wings? Like, it just, for real, I think that there's going to be a lot of people looking at this going, you know what, Dark Angels are not my style, so I'm going to kind of lean toward the Chaos stuff, and I think that that's great.
You know what, that is fair, but I think one of the other big reasons why people might be leaning towards the Chaos stuff, and this is something I wanted to bring up, is, boy, oh boy, does that Dark Angels force look similar.
Yeah, well.
I mean, you know, like, seriously, because what was in the old 5th edition starter box? You had a squad of 10 Marines, check. Now, their weapons options are different. Great. Okay. Dark Angels use plasmas. Sure. You had 5 Terminators. Check.
Right.
You had a character. Check.
Yes.
Actually, this one does have 2 characters, so I mean, right. I'll give them that. That's new. And then they just swapped out a Dreadnought for 3 wing fetishy bikes. Like, you know, so I mean, like, for me, I was just like, I looked at the Dark Angel side, and I just felt completely...
Well, no. The bikes are the Death Copters.
Well, no. Again,
and
if we're...
Dreadnought is the other side Dreadnought.
It's true. They did totally swap them. The 3 Death Copters from the Orcs went to the Marine side, and the Dreadnought went to the other side. But, I mean, realistically, this is the identical box set to 5th edition for the Loyal Space Marine side. And that's really kind of a letdown, because, I mean...
You know what? I think you're right about that. I think that that's a really good point. I love the idea that they're putting bikes in there. I think that that's kind of a smart move. But I actually would have been happier to see some nondescript scouts as opposed to Terminators. Because these Terminators also don't look great.
No. Compared to the current plastic Terminators, and even if you're going to go so far as to using the Deathwing Terminator bits that you get when you buy like the Dark Angels bits box, they're still not as good looking as what you can currently get, and they don't have retarded wing backpacks.
So, okay, here's an interesting query from the rules perspective. We're given essentially the same number of Chosen as we are Terminators. Do you really feel like that's a good sign that Chosen are going to get a significant bump in the next book? Or do you think that those 20 cultists are what's going to balance it out?
I think it's going to be the cultists, because when you look at the Chosen in like the close-up picture, is you've got a dude with a power maul, so we know the rules. That's going to be strength 5, AP 2 in combat. You've got the power fist, you've got a power axe, and you've got a pair of lightning claws.
And 2 bolt guns. Don't forget the bolt guns, because that's what we needed. A mixed squad.
And actually, Lang, if you look closely, that's one model with a bolt gun they give you twice.
Yes, copy and paste.
Woo! Because, yeah, all they,
you're done.
Yeah.
We need to fill page space, and our heavy metal department's gotten fucking lazy.
No, I mean, because when you open like the whole set, there are 6 of them, so I have no doubt that they just cut the same model twice, the same way they did with all the cultists.
Right. Yes, I think
that's my point. Is the
any chance to job. Any chance to pay the sculptors less?
You're right. No, I mean, yeah, like I said, it's just, I don't know. It's going to be hard to say, because, I mean, depending on what the cultists are, because if we assume they're just guardsmen, I look at this and I'm just like, fucking the Dark Angels should win most
game
matchups. Yeah, because, yeah. I mean, like, when you look at it, they've got, I mean, the wild card is the Dreadnought, because with all the plasma, it can hurt a Dreadnought, but if it's armor 13, then they're fucked.
Well, I think that this starter box is definitely built more toward people building armies as opposed to built toward having an even starter game.
Well, I mean, that's
very
what the
similar to the... I wasn't even going to say 5th Ed. I was going to say 20 Dark Eldar Warriors versus 10 Marines and a Land Speeder. Where it was just like, so can I win? Fuck no! No! You're supposed to play Marines.
See, I actually really enjoyed the 3rd Ed starter set, because as soon as I brought, like, the first time I brought my Dark Eldar to a games night, the very next week I showed up, I was given 80 Warriors, because everyone was just like, here's my 20 Warriors, I'll never use them. Here's my 20 Warriors, I'll never use them. Wow. I was like, holy shit, my army went from 1,000 points to 1,500, and I didn't buy anything.
The absolute worst thing about that whole situation was that you didn't even have all the special special weapon upgrades that you could take. Like, at least in Green Squad, they gave you a flamer and a missile launcher. And then in the Dark Elder, it was just like, oh, no, you can take two more. But fuck you. You get splinter cannons. It's like, really, can't I just take, like, two? I would take shredders. Give me shredders at this point. I would take two shredders or two blasters.
And that was the thing, is like those old Dark Elder squads, yeah, they could have two special weapons, two heavy weapons, and instead they're just like, you get splinter cannons, but I'm allowed dark lances, but then you'd kill the Marines. That
would just
slow down there.
You would shoot the land speeder down in a shot. Like, do you realize how bullshit that is? And that was the funny thing, is like the only conversion that you could get away with on those models was to bits order the wings and make them scourges, or which was the best thing in the world because they look 100 times better than the actual metal scourges.
Yes, yes.
But literally was to take those splinter cannons and like glue a splinter rifle to the splinter cannon barrel and just be like, Dark Lance. That was the only thing you could do with those models, was literally just that, or try to like put together some sort of like full bullshit witch unit with like your champions. Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Okay, so let's talk about the Dreadnought. I really do want to talk about this Dreadnought because I don't think it's a Dreadnought. And I might be the only one, but when I read Hellbrute, I think it's a monstrous creature. I think there's enough weird fleshy tentacle rape sort of things showing. I love how they've got tentacles beside chains. I think that is a weird sort of like cross section of fetishes.
This is going
well. We've all had that fantasy. It's a gorgeous model. I really do like it. But what it really does scream to me, they're actually going to get a monstrous creature outside of the Demon Prince, and that's what it's going to be. I think you'll be able to take like a standard Chaos Dreadnought. Like, I don't think that that's going to be like taken away from you, but this looks to me like a monstrous creature.
You know, honestly, that was my thought as well. Everyone else has talked about the Dreadnought, but for me, the biggest giveaway was that it says it has a power fist, whereas everything that is a Dreadnought, it always says Dreadnought Close Combat Weapon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Dreadnought Close Combat Weapon functions like a power fist, but no, like I said, when I first looked at it, I didn't think Dreadnought. It wasn't until I went back and I was like, well, I guess they have the exhaust vents, they have the feet, but...
So what do you figure, strength 5 with the power fist? No, I'm just saying, like... You know.
Strength 5 or strength 6, I mean, I could see it being as strong as a Dreadnought is, being strength 6.
We're still going to cap at 12.
Well, I mean, yeah, caps cap at 10. I don't know.
My scotch refill.
Drink more scotch.
I think that the Chaos characters are the shining glory of this box set. Chaos Lord is really nice. I love the way the Chosen look. I think that they all look great except for the one dude who's got a very pristinely polished cockbone hanging down over his dick. You know, and it's just like, I think that that model with the two lightning claws looks amazing. I mean, it looks so good. And then there's just that fucking bone in the middle of nowhere. It's like, what the hell?
It looks better than most Chaos Lords do currently. So, I mean, I'm very happy with the look of the Chaos
Lord. Well, the head looks fucking amazing. It just looks great.
Because it's looking down and then it looks like that red rebreather, the way it's painted, it really does look like a fucking Yosemite Sam mustache to me. But no, absolutely. I looked at the Chaos stuff and I was very, very impressed, especially because I am current. You know, I've always wanted to do a Chaos Space Marine army. As you know, I actually started one, and then the current Chaos Codex came out, and
with like 90% of the armies Games Workshop does.
It is true, but Chaos Space Marines was actually the army that I legitimately started because I painted a whole unit of 12 Noise Marines because I was going to do the whole Emperor's Children thing.
Gross.
And then the new book came out, and I gave all 12 of them away to a friend who wanted to run a unit of 18 Noise Marines for a tournament. I'm like, here you go. I'll never play in this book.
Right on. Okay, so...
But yeah, the Chaos stuff looks great. It actually makes me very excited for their redo, which rumor has it is going to be in the next month. So that's great. I look forward to being able to use this stuff and build it into a list. So yay.
Yay.
It's quite clear when you look at the Chaos stuff compared to the Dark Angel stuff that the sculptors were really excited to do Chaos, and they really phoned it in with the Dark Angels.
Well, okay. Let's talk about the Dark Angels a little bit.
First of all, we were wrong.
And
See, we had assumed they were going to go with the robes. We really did, as we thought they were going to put robes on fucking everything. And admittedly, they did. They kept the robes.
They actually toned the robes down. Outside of the two characters, if you look at the limited edition Interrogator Chaplin and the Sergeant, they're wearing aprons. Am I wrong?
It's true. But then you look at the Company Master, not even talking about his helmet yet. We'll get there. He's wearing the full robe with a robe over that robe and then a cape over the double robe.
No, so that's a snuggie.
Okay, you're right. It does have armor. So he's wearing a robe and then he's got a snuggie on top and an apron. And you're just like, really, guys? Like, that is so
My God. And really, to go from robes to just like wings being the fetish. Like, if there was an additional pair of wings on that thing, I think Ward would come. Like, I think that there's almost enough.
How do you know he didn't when he saw it? He's like, two is good enough?
Well, close enough, right? But, I mean, I think Dan Byer said it good on the Facebook page when he was just like, okay, it's not a winged cod piece. It's just a robe over a robe hanging down with, like, a bas relief, you know, molded wings on there. And I was like, it's still dick wings. Like, that's it's still cock wings, man. And I'm like, and then he's like, okay, and I admit the helmet's fucking retarded. He's like, it's over the top. He's like, and the shoulder wing, why did we need that? Why did anybody need that? He's like, you know, that's a chaos chapter, right?
Yes, absolutely. No, but I mean, here is the thing, okay? Despite the obvious Red Bull gives you wings jokes, which I thought about, I did. The biggest.
I like problem, how you actually feel like this show has some sort of standards that you need to conform to.
No, but really what it is they looked at the Azrael model, you know, because Azrael was always that kind of crummy looking chapter master with that stupid robed something holding the helmet with the stupid wings.
Yeah, okay? the helmet bear, the baby
the helmet bear. It was always kind of a shitty model.
One that you and keep using the rules for quite a long time.
Yes. What, you mean if it hits this guy, it's completely ignored? Yes, last cannon on him.
I'll take the last cannon on the helmet bearer. Yeah, he's fine.
So like I said, all they did is they, you know, and you have to remember that this was a second edition model, okay? This model is at least 15 years old. I think it's closer to 20.
They learned from their mistakes and they never looked back until now, apparently.
I was going to say they learned from their mistakes, and what they learned was that mistake was awesome because they just took that helmet and they applied that style. As they're like, but look at his helmet. Sure, we sculpted it 20 years ago when everyone was wearing fucking spandex and neon was in. Mm-hmm. You know, Prince, but of course what happened. Yeah, Prince, right?
Prince.
Everything from 20 years ago is still good. The 80s are back, bitches. Let's bring the 80s back with our models.
Which is so funny because the librarian beside him is fucking amazing.
Yes,
so good.
And the best part about that librarian is if you shave off the Dark Angel's thing on his, like, on that front, and then
you just shave off the knife.
Brock
Lesnar knife.
Absolutely.
You just shave off that Brock Lesnar bullshit, and you've got like a great set of wings. Do you like that? You like that, don't you?
That is fantastic.
Does that make you happy?
Yeah.
It made me happy when I thought about it like 2 hours ago. I was like, oh, Nathan's going to shit himself. Just wait. Wait till you shave off the Brock Lesnar tattoo.
That is fantastic.
Anybody who's not a UFC fight fan right now is just like, why is that funny? Google it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you just trim the one shoulder pad, mm-hmm. and that is the best librarian model they've ever made.
Gorgeous.
And then you go next door to the apron chaplain with, I think they sculpted on smoke. God. Is that supposed to be smoke coming out of his backpack?
Yes, it is pointless, needless smoke. I think every single person who buys that model is just going to clip those two little pieces of bullshit off the back of that. You know what? And
I agree 100%. You just clip them off the top and he has a Marine backpack.
I dare somebody to get that model and just on his chest, like on his apron, just paint Kiss the Cook. That's all I want
to
see.
Or Hail to the Chef.
Hail to the Chef.
I will take Hail to the Chef.
Bonus points from, the most J-list of podcasts on the internet.
It's true. No, but I mean, like, that's the thing where it's just like, you look at it and I'm just perplexed by the direction. Cause you know,
You even look at the sergeant. You're like, okay, I can leave the bathrobe on him. I would also clip the Dark Angel's stupid backpack topper. Because it feels like the sculptors here, like I said, they really just phoned it in where they're like, we're going to take an existing Marine. Because if I'm not mistaken, when I look at this sergeant, the old Games Day sergeant, the Ultramarines with the Power Fist, the yep. Games Day exclusive model.
Yes.
It looks exactly like him with a robe, a plasma pistol instead of a fist. And then his pointing hand has a sword in it.
Yeah, I'm not going to hate on anybody for just copying over a pose.
No. I get that.
I don't know why you're being such a dick about it. That's really what I want to know, is why you're going after the sculptors. It's not their fault.
Because the backpack. Like, why is it they decided that with Dark Angels, backpack garbage? Like, it's just like, okay, the Blood Angels have covered their armor, toe to forehead, in stupid blood drops. The Space Wolves are furries, so they've got their tails and their cat ear, or their dog ears. Sorry.
You wouldn't want to upset the cat furry.
I know. I mean, we all know the cat furries make up a huge demographic.
No, they're scritching right now. They don't care. So you don't know what that means, but there are people who listen to this podcast who understands what that means.
Okay, I have no idea. I think I am happier in my life not knowing what that means, to be honest. But it really feels like they are just like, okay, backpack garbage, check. That is the way we're going to go with this army. Is, you know, what makes Dark Angels different from the Marines and Blood Angels and Space Wolves and Black Templars? Because realistically, the aprons Black Templars had first.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
That's true.
What makes them actually different?
No, Cypher had it before them. Cypher had it before them.
See, Cypher actually wore a robe, kind of. Either way, I don't care.
That's what I love about the librarian, was that they actually did a hood, like a robe hood that looked proper, that wasn't like poofed up and like really weird. It was just like, no, it looks like he's wearing a hood.
Yep. Because, I mean, other than that, like I said, the company master is ridiculous. I hate it. I truly hate it. Wings.
I think it's terrible.
We've talked about the librarian. The chaplain's silly. You know, other than that, you have your basic tactical squad. What pisses me off about the Dark Angels is when you go to, like, the Terminators and the bikes. Because, again, you can make better-looking Terminators out of the current box.
Right.
You even have more freedom with weapons options. Because what is up with Games Workshop's hard-ons with assault cannons? I mean, they had an assault cannon in 5th Ed, which wasn't as good as the Cyclone. They have an assault cannon now, still arguably not as good.
Yeah.
They had to give douchey backpack junk onto the Terminator because the wings are actually sprouting from the top.
Okay, we're not onto the Terminators yet because we're going to get to the Terminators.
Fine.
I want to talk about the Marines. It really does seem as though the shoulder pads on these Marines are embossed with the Dark Angels logo, which is actually very strange because in the last box and in every box leading up to this, the most they've done is emboss like the tactical squad markings and stuff like that, which is perfect. I love the way that looks. I love the fact that they did it on these.
And that was the first one that they did it on, mm-hmm. was embossing the tactical squad, but at least leaving the shoulder pad blank so you could choose which chapter you wanted to play out of the starter set.
Exactly. And what it really looks like here is that they really have kind of gone past that and they're just saying like, nope, it's just fucking Dark Angels. Like you will be literally trimming the shit out of these fucking shoulder pads for hours. It does not look like transfers. Obviously, when it comes to the starter kit stuff, they typically do not show you anything that requires a transfer. They'll almost always show you just what comes in the box. Everything is embossed on the models, at least from the last two kits. So, mm-hmm. you know, I find it a bit strange that they're just like, no, we are going full into Dark Angels.
Now, my question to you is, do you think that this is a conscious decision from the studio to stop people from cherry picking their Marine rules? Because I mean, realistically, when you break it down, how many Loyalist Marine chapters that could be identical? That, you know, you could have the exact same core of models and cherry pick the rules. You have Black Templars, Dark Angels, Blood Angels, and Space Marines. So that is four codexes without a single conversion that I can just choose what I want. So if I have a lot of Melta guns, I'm just like, I'm Space Marines. This dude here is Vulcan Hestan. Go fuck yourself. So I'm wondering if this is a conscious effort from the studio to force people to actually pick an army and go with it. Because if I paint up my Tyranids, I can't just say they're orcs today. Whereas every Marine player that isn't taking Space Wolves, because I think they're a little too fetishy to get away with it. Too fetishy. Fuck. can't believe I have to add that.
I know, right?
Or Grey Knights, because at least Grey Knights, as fucking retarded as they are and how they shouldn't even need a codex, their weapons are very unique and specific. I still have a Storm Bolter and a fucking Halberd, and there's no getting around that fact. Whereas, like I said, you have four codices where, depending on the models I own, I could literally just choose which rules to play. And so I'm wondering if embossing the Dark Angels logo is their way of saying, no, they're Dark Angels. Fuck off.
Now, listen, it may be the third refill of scotch talking. But Nathan...
you should go for four.
I may. I'm close to finish. But Nathan, that was very insightful.
Is the scotch talking.
I honestly think that you have something there. I think that you are pretty spot on when it comes to that particular assessment, because like you said, everything before this has been exceptionally nondescript, and considering the fact that the Terminators are as specific as they are, I think it's very hard. And again, we talk about the Raven Wing as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that you're probably right. I think that they are basically saying, we've been so popular with the Blood Angels and the Space Wolves that we really do need to make sure that people buying this starter kit and people starting the game are starting out with Dark Angels, which is funny because, you know, there were so many people who started the game with Dark Angels. That's not the case now. Nobody starts the game with Dark Angels now. I mean, nobody would choose this chapter consciously.
No, I mean, either Codex.
I have all the respect in the world for Lionel Johnson. I do. I actually feel like...
Yeah, he has some great songs, right?
I honestly can't recite any of Lionel Richie's songs, but no, Lionel Johnson is actually one of the more interesting Primarchs, and I've always kind of enjoyed him, but the Dark Angels chapter as a whole I've always hated since Gav Thorpe wrote Angels of Darkness, which is a glorious book. I absolutely love it. You can see Gav Thorpe at the Black Library Expo October 6th and 7th in Chestermere, Alberta, outside of Calgary.
The more he drinks, the more he's going
to
plug.
No, fuck that. You know what? And listen, I'm going to take 2 minutes out of this show to actually talk about that. Last mark, they were about half sold through their tickets. You cannot buy your tickets at the door. It is $20 for a ticket, which is fucking nothing.
We all spend $100 for a tournament.
No, for real, right? With all the limited exclusive stuff that they're going to have there, and with all of the things that you're going to be able to sit in on, the panels with the authors. And I mean, you know, Gav Thorpe was a game designer for Games Workshop for third and fourth edition. Right?
Yep.
Or second, third, and fourth edition.
Second, third, actually, second. I think Gav was for Rogue Trader as well.
Yes. So I mean, even if you don't even read the books, you know, like there's a lot of stuff to get out of this. And
Graham McNeil was also a games designer before a Black Library author.
Absolutely.
So you do have a lot of there.
You know, here in Alberta, we have a very tight-knit gaming community, and this gaming community will travel between Edmonton and Calgary at the drop of a hat. And what we really need to do in this gaming community is support this type of event. I mean, this is the biggest Games Workshop event in Alberta ever. So, I mean, this is the type of thing that everybody needs to support so that when we start looking at this again, or the organizers start looking at this again after it's finished, they say, absolutely, we're going to do it again next year, and we're going to do it bigger. And if we don't support that kind of stuff, and we don't get the tickets, and we don't go out to this kind of stuff, well, that's just where it dies, right? Because nobody wants to run this stuff at a big loss. And the authors are not going to want to come back if they come out to the panels and there's four or five people sitting in the seats. You know, they don't need to fly all the way from the UK for that shit, right? We really need to show people what we can do here in Alberta and in Canada and how important this is to our gaming community. So buy your fucking tickets now. Again, you can't buy them at the door. $20, for real?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, don't be a bitch.
You already have that weekend off. And I mean, and again, I've never plugged anything this hard on game,
you know,
Jada Gamercast.
I was going to say, the only other thing that we have plugged this hard was don't shop at Maelstrom.
Like, don't shop at Maelstrom Games. Yes, I think that is also very true. Okay, so let's talk about the Terminators.
Or
did you want to say something about the expo?
No, I'm running.
I covered it.
Yeah, I was gonna say you covered it. Other than that, even if you do not give two shits about Black Library authors or anything because you're illiterate, or you're a fuck,
or you hate awesome things,
or you hate awesome things, there is going to be both a 40K and a fantasy tournament there, awesome. And the cost for the tournament is free as long as you have admission into the hall. So again, 20 bucks a day, so $40 for a whole tournament for a weekend of gaming. So yeah, like I said, even if you don't care about Black Library, at least come play in a tournament and support it.
Now, what about people who want to play in the tournament and go to these panels? Are you guys doing any sort of scheduling that's going to allow that over 2 days?
Yes, we are running, I'm going to say it this way to hear you groan. We're running an ETC-style team event. that's exactly it. What I mean by that is absolutely no comp, because go fuck yourself.
But it's an event.
Exactly. We are doing we're doing it so that every team, you know, it's just going to be a team thing. So when we do pairings, it's going to be team A versus team B, and then they can choose who is going to play out of their team members. Teams will be 3 to 6 players.
Oh, okay. You're right. Right.
Yeah. Three to six players. Only three need to play. So that way, if you do want to go play in the tournament and, you know, see the Horus Heresy panel and get Dan Abnett to sign your tits or do whatever, you're able to schedule it around. So say, okay, there's nothing going on, you know, that I want to attend at this time, I'll play this game. That's what we're doing, is we're trying to be flexible with the tournament to allow for people to play in the tournament and still be able to experience the expo. Because, I mean, fuck, we have both played during a conflict.
Yeah.
How awesome was it that there's all that great stuff going on that starts after game one and ends before your last game of the day?
Well, what I think is amazing about playing a tournament in that type of environment is that, say, for instance, you have a bad game. And we've all had those at tournaments where that game is over in 30 minutes and you're just sitting around on your fucking ass for like hour and a half. John, I'm sure you cheated. But really,
well, obviously.
Obviously. But no, really, you know, like, this is the type of environment where it's just like, oh, your game's over quickly? Yeah, by all means, like, go enjoy the tournament. Go get some books signed. Go talk to the authors. Go get some of the limited edition stuff. You've got more than enough time to do it. And I mean, this is where we talk about kind of the difference between a tournament and an event. You know, Paul was very straightforward with this when we were talking about Warhammered. You know, he was saying, like, no, this is an event. Like, this is about fun. This is about goofiness. This is about drinking. This is about throwing up. I mean, you know, nobody threw up, which was a great thing. Nah, Matt just passed out in his car, which was hilarious. All right. So, any other information that you require about that, please feel free to ask on the JD Gamercast Facebook page. But we won't go into that any further and whore it as hard as we've been whoring it, although we'll probably do that for every episode leading up to it.
It's true.
Let's talk about shitty Terminators.
Oh, I fucking hate them.
Anatomically, they don't make any fucking sense.
Why? Are you telling me that your belly button cannot be facing the side of your body in line with your hips? Really? Is that what you're going to tell me? You're just not genetically modified, Lang. That's all.
I am telling you that my shoulders are not joints at the top of my shoulder blade. They are joints at my armpit. I don't know if that makes any sense. But really, it's just... These are terrible models, and the wings on the champion look so bad.
Oh, they're awful. You can't even see.
I'm shocked how bad those wings look on that model. Like, it looks so terrible. Like, they didn't even attach it to the helmet. I think that's what bugs me so much about them.
It's above the helmet.
That's too hard to model. Fuck it. Just wing them on the backpack. Which is hilarious, because this is the one model where that doesn't work. Every other model, I don't care if you put wings on them, just put them in the right place.
Yes.
Just,
well, and the worst
they
part
did
is,
that.
Like,
they did that years ago on that mod, on the Cypher model.
I know, it's terrible.
Years ago, they did it.
He has the stupid wings, he's got the sword held up at an awkward, unnatural angle, and he's wearing a toga. Like, I'm just like,
yeah.
Where's the kegger? Like, it's just, no, I hate them. And the worst part is the other four, other than the Mark V kind of studs going on, there's not a lot that really marks them as Dark Angel specific. I mean, the chest piece, maybe. The shoulder pads, okay. You've got your Deathwing iconography. The one guy's got the wing shoulder pauldron. But if you are an existing player looking at adding in, and, you know, if you're one of those Dark Angels players, good on you. You've suffered a lot. I'm sorry. You know,
We're
you are an actual Dark Angels player, you've been playing Codex Space Marine for the last 4 years.
Exactly. I was going to say, Chris Wyman's not going like, oh, man. No, he's happy with the Dark Angels.
why would you not just go buy a fucking box of normal Space Marine Terminators? Gives you more weapons options, gives you better poses, gives you actual posability, because that's the one thing that we haven't talked about, though.
Okay, though, you're wrong.
Is actual starter set models are always, you know, it's just like, it's going to be like you slide an arm on here. You know, they're almost all one piece or as close to one piece as possible. So you do have a lot more posability with normal Space Marine Terminators. And then buy a fucking Forge World shoulder pad set.
No, here's where you're wrong. And this is why I felt like this was kind of the biggest fail with the Space Marine side of this box, is that you kind of said it when you said Deathwing. Deathwing are a very, very interesting part of the Dark Angels that a lot of people take advantage of, because it is essentially the quickest way to paint an army before Grey Knights came out. And really what it was having an army of all Terminators, or having an army of all bikes, land speeders.
Yeah, it's Ravenwing.
And just going for the town, right?
And see, but I would have loved if they'd done a Ravenwing.
That's what I'm getting at, you fucking asshole.
All right, no, you can edit that out.
I won't edit it out. Fuck you.
Oh, I know. We are a one-take podcast.
Since when do I edit anything out of this podcast? Well, I do edit out when your wife goes on her tirades. Because then, like, 2 days later, you're just like, you know, remember when Terry was drunk and she said some things? Could you just take that 5 minutes out of the podcast? But no, really, I feel like that's a huge fail. I think that we could have gotten a lot more bikes. I think we could have got a lot more Terminators and just skip the Marines altogether, because we didn't need them. Nobody needs them at this point.
Well, especially when you consider that the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and now 6th edition starter sets have essentially been the exact same thing. 3rd ed, 10 Marines with a Landspeeder. 4th ed, 10 Marines with... I think that was it, wasn't it? In 4th ed, Battle for McCraig?
Yeah. No, that Marines. Was just 10 Marines, yeah.
5th ed, 10 Marines, a Dreadnought, and 5 Terminators. And the Force Commander. That was actually cool looking.
Right.
6th ed, 10 Marines. So it's just like, you know, like...
Well, what worked so well with the Terminators in the last box set was that they were nondescript, and that actually if you bought a 5-man box of Terminators, they blended very well with them. And
yes,
it gave you a very nice range of posability. I actually put together a unit of Terminators doing that, where I took the 5 out of the box and I took the 5 out of the kit. And really it was just like, that unit looks amazing, because every single model looks so good on its own, as opposed to feeling like you're just reproducing the same poses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it just, I agree. I think I really wish, and I hadn't thought of it until you had started going on that line. I really wish.
I'm very insightful.
Hey,
Say it out loud. All right.
I was just going to start breathing heavily and waited to see how long it would take for you to edit.
Listen, that Dan Abnett response is going to get old pretty soon.
It's true. No, but I mean, like, you know, it would have been so good to just see, like, a Ravenwing squad with a fucking Master of the Ravenwing that wasn't shit. And a Landspeeder. I think that would have been so cool. Or a good Deathwing squad or something. Like, or not even cool, but it would have been interesting. Because, again, the Space Marine side is identical to last editions.
Well, see,
what the fuck is new?
Here's the thing, right? They realized a long time ago that people will very happily buy multiple starter kits for the fact that they can build an army off of the starter kits. And I think that that is very much what we're seeing right here. What's weird about it is that that's not the case for the Chaos Space Marine side. I assume you're going to be able to use Cultists for troops, and you're going to be able to use your Chosen for elites, and that's all great. But really, it's not conducive to... I can only assume what the new book is going to play like, where it's going to favor the 3+ saving the Marines more than the cultists. But, okay, let me get this out. When it comes to the Dark Angel side of this, it is very much buy two starter kits, you've got almost 1,000 points worth of stuff, you're in a great position to play a game, just go buy a fucking Land Raider and you're loving life.
I think the only downs, the only drawback, I agree with you. I think
the only drawback...
The only drawback, other than the fact that you're playing Marines.
Playing Dark Angels.
Dark Angels.
Right? I mean, hate me all you want. Like I said, I like Lionel Johnson, but fuck Dark Angels.
Yeah, fair enough. You would have 6 HQ, and that's the only thing. Well, sorry, until the limited edition is out, then you'd only have 5 or 4.
But that's not a bad... I mean, that's...
You know, it's not terrible. It does give you options. And that is one of the best parts of the Dark Angels one, is you literally get the 3 Marine options for HQs. You have your Chaplain, your Librarian, and your company master wing douche.
You
know, so it's just like the fact that you're right. You know, you and a friend each, you know, you want to do Dark Angels, he wants to do Chaos, because I mean, this is fucking how every fucking Assault on Black Reach starter set was, hey, I'm doing Orcs, you're doing Marines, let's each buy a starter set and trade.
Exactly.
If you're getting the Dark Angels, 6 bikes, 10 Terminators, 20 Marines, and 6 HQs allowing you to run 2 of anything you want is actually a really fucking fantastic start of a list. But I do agree with you. Is 40 Cultists and 12 Chosen and 2 Lords and 2 Hellbrutes going to be an effective Chaos Space Marine list? I honestly don't think so, because, I mean, you'd be really hard-pressed because there are no cult troops. I would have loved to have seen recut Berserkers in there. I think would have been a really interesting option. Possibly even Plastic Noise Marines, Thousand Suns, Plague Marines.
Sure.
Oh, are you kidding me, though? If you had put a cult troop in there and that was your only plastic cult troop...
I fucking hate Noise Marines. I hate Slaanesh. I think they're the dumbest idea ever. I think that's the idea that should have died. That is the thalidomide baby that should have been buried in the basement 20 years ago when it was born, that they're just like, no, we can still make Noise Marines cool. They are the Aquaman of 40K.
Wing helmet. I mean, like, it doesn't get worse than Wing Helmet. No, I mean, like I said, agree. Because in second edition, all of the Noise Marines had fucking guitars.
Mm.
Fucking electric guitars. Like, it was like Guns N' Roses and Power.
They just try so hard to make it work. It's a dumb idea.
You are right on that. But even...
there'd be some angry fans coming at me, though.
It's true. I mean, well, I mean, not John Kingsway. John Kingsway hates Slaanesh because he loses every time he plays them.
Well, I'm going to wrap that. We got to bring this show to the end here. We got another thing to talk about. Quickly, the bikes. I don't know why we needed extra wings, but otherwise they're just fucking Marine bikes where your champion is wearing an apron.
They don't actually look any different to the current Ravenwing bike set, other than the sergeant has 2 wings on his bike instead of 1.
Yeah, why not? Whatever. Dumb. Sure. Great.
Yep.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit. All right, let's wrap up that Space Marine starter kit. Are you going to buy one, Nathan?
Depending on how the Chaos Space Marine book looks, maybe. I might buy one for the Chaos side. And again, that's entirely dependent on the Codex. At this moment right now, when it comes out on August 25th, apparently, absolutely not. I have no need for it. I have 2 rule books. I don't give a shit about Dark Angels. I like the Chaos stuff, but I don't do a Chaos Army. And I may not include it if I do a Chaos Army. So no, I will not.
I'm in the same boat. I probably will not buy it. I do not need the mini rulebook. I do not need the templates. I definitely don't need the additional dice. You know, although I will say this, which is funny. When you play Firestorm Armada, the game plays best if you have 3 different colors of dice, right? So I use red, black, and white dice. And they are all starter set dice that I have collected over the various years that I've been playing this game, because it is perfect for Firestorm Armada. And so I kind of looked at that set and said, well, I could get more white dice. but really,
there are cheaper ways to get white dice than a $120 starter set.
But no, I won't be buying it just because I don't. I mean, even if I really do like the Chaos Codex and I sit there and go, ooh, I could totally do that. I've got 2 other armies on the deck, and Chaos is something that I played for a very long time. I loved it, but it's just, you know, it's fallen out of favor for me. So, you know, it's hard for me to turn back to that lost love.
Yeah, fair
and
enough.
Reconnect.
For me, I am at the point where I am looking for a 40K army. I do like Tyranids. And again, I am excited about
Tyranids.
Nice.
How are you going to feel tomorrow? Are you going to hate Tyranids tomorrow, Nathan?
Well,
I love them on Thursday.
I was
going to
say, did I play a game tonight? No, I still love them.
You still love them?
No, but I mean, like... at the end of the day, right now, as far as I'm concerned, I have no 6th edition army. I have no 40K army because after painting my demons, I look at my Tyranids and I'm just very unhappy with how they look. And I'm very unhappy putting them on the table. So even if I had no other qualms about Tyranids and no emotional baggage, which we both know I have shitloads
of.
I wouldn't play my current Tyranids because of how they are painted. So, I mean, I have no 40K army that's painted to a standard that I'm happy with. So I am right now kind of putzing away with Firestorm, and I was planning on painting up my threshold for Strange Aeons. So again, you know, I'm basically just stalling, waiting for something in 40K to really just kind of grab me and make me excited again. I look at these Chaos models and I'm almost there. Like, I look at it and I'm like, fuck, I love those Chosen. The Hellbrute looks interesting, but I mean, even if, you know, I'm discounting him, I think the Cultists look good. All,
you know, I will add, because I forgot to talk about it when we were talking about the Hellbrute. I do actually love the way that they modeled him, because it really does seem like they modeled him in such a way that just slicing off that multi-milta and attaching any other heavy weapon will be exceptionally easy.
Yes, it does.
And I do appreciate that a lot, because, you know, obviously there's going to be a lot of different play styles. And when we talk about starter kits, 90% of the time, they're geared with the shit you don't want to gear them with. So,
absolutely. I think the only exception is that Dark Angel squad. I have always loved plasma cats. I think plasma guns were good last edition. This edition, they're a little bit better.
They're better? How are they better? You don't get two shots.
Yes, they do.
They're assault one. Pistols are all assault one.
No,
in
I said
edition.
Plasma gun.
Ew.
Plasma gun. Plasma pistols I've never really cared for, because they're almost always on expensive models like sergeants that can kill themselves. I learned that lesson with combat drugs with my Dark Eldar, when it's like, I'm going to put two combat drugs on my witch succubus and she's dead.
Okay, fair enough.
But no, so I mean, plasma guns are better. I love them. So, I mean, I'm happy with that. You know, but otherwise, like I said, the Chaos models are nice enough that if Chosen are the fucking bee's knees, and same with Cultists, and the Lord is great, I would pick one up to do a Chaos.
I can't believe you just said bee's knees. You're not even that old. That's what's stupid about that.
I know.
You're just a fucking hipster.
Ooh.
When are you going to grow your handlebar mustache?
Movember. That's right. I said it.
Yeah, fair enough. That's when I grow my Tony Stark. But anyways, okay, so Here's the breakdown for the kit for me. I definitely will not buy it, although I will push people who are new to the game toward buying it, which I think is actually a win for Games Workshop in the end. All right, so Firestorm Armada and Spartan Games has been working with a weird sort of specialist game studios called Spartan Studios, which is a big turnoff for me, because I only really have bad memories of specialist games. And for the most part,
you played Gothic against Matt Damon.
I did play those Gothic games. And really, it's just like, I get that they have kind of this little subsidiary sister company that they may have acquired through whatever. I don't know how business works in the UK. But really, it comes down to the fact that they are putting out a ground-based planetary assault version of combat that is essentially taking part in the Firestorm Armada universe, which is very interesting. They've been talking about this for about a year and a half now. We all kind of knew that this was going to be coming, but I think what's interesting about it is, and this is kind of partly a stupidity check, they only released two armies in the initial launch.
Yes.
Which is a drastic fail.
Okay. Yes, you're absolutely right. For me, the Firestorm Invasion stuff, there are three issues with it. One of them you already said, which is only releasing two armies, which is humans and other humans. Okay. The Firestorm Armada universe is one that has expanded drastically since it was released.
Very much so.
What, a year and a half ago?
Three years ago.
Really? That long?
Jeez. Firestorm Armada has been out when you and I first got into it. It had been out for about a year and a half.
Oh, fair enough. So, I mean, the universe,
which means that I attribute its success to our podcast.
Well, obviously.
Clearly.
The only time we have ever been wrong with our predictions was the Rogue Dark Fetish. Angels. Was the Dark Angels. I mean, how
why
can
isn't there
things?
A rhino in a parka?
Who says there won't be? But, I mean,
I meant to say like rhino in a Snuggie.
Because
then I was going to
well,
say,
that way it can answer the phone.
For rhino in a Snuggie. And that just failed on my part. Sorry, you were saying?
I was going to say, you're into your fourth glass of scotch, though.
I am actually down to the bottom of my fourth glass of scotch, and I'm out of ice, so I'm one step away from drinking straight from the bottle at this point.
Fantastic. But I mean, like I said, the Firestorm Armada universe is one that has been constantly expanding and evolving, which is unique if you have only played Games Workshop games, because as much as Games Workshop likes to talk about how the universe is rolling over and ticking forward, at the end of the day, I've been playing since 1998. Nothing has changed.
You can't see it, but I am shaking my head in agreement.
You know, even after Eye of Terror, where they're like, oh my god, Chaos might have a foothold. They got the, you know, because they won Gothic so drastically, it's just like they have the, they own all of the space around Cadia. It doesn't fucking matter. Nothing has ever changed in the Warhammer universes. The Firestorm Armada universe, by contrast, is constantly being created. They will, you know, they will expand the fluff of this universe and the setting through blog posts, you know, when they're announcing new fleets and new ships and new everything. So, I mean, I think it's very interesting. And that's why I think it's such a fail to only release two different armies, which are both humans. Secondly, the subsidiary company thing. This tells me that Spartan Games does not have enough confidence in the game system to attach their name to it. I mean, yeah. And that's really what it comes down to, is if they thought that this was going to be a fantastic game and an excellent extension of the Firestorm Armada universe, this would be on the Spartan Games site next to Dystopian Wars and next to Uncharted Seas. I mean, realistically, Uncharted Seas, it was their first game, and it is their least successful.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, the fact that they're sticking by that and they're not sticking by Firestorm Invasion immediately sends off alarm bells. But the third and the biggest thing in my minds is when you are on that Spartan...
Your minds?
My minds. Right. Why do you think I'm able to have so many opinions?
Did you finish your liter of beer?
I did. I did a while ago. Actually, when you were talking about the wings on the bikes, I was planning on just like taking my headphones off and running up for another beer. But I was like, then it'll ask me a question. But the biggest drawback is, how much have you read into it, Lang? Did you actually read like the whole website where they're talking about how the game is supposed to be played?
No.
Okay.
Because I was instantly turned off.
Brace yourself.
By the models.
You are going to be even more turned off. They talk about how Firestorm Invasion is meant to be a campaign-based system. And I'm like, okay, fine. Let's tie it into Firestorm Armada. The campaign will not tie into Firestorm Armada. But instead, it will represent the three phases of a battle, being Planetfall, sort of mopping up defenders, and then special forces. Each of those three phases is a different scale of miniatures. So basically, you have Epic scale for one game. You have Flames of War scale, which is bigger, for the next game. And then you have Warhammer scale for the third one. And I'm just like, so you are expecting me to buy three sets of models so that I can play your game? Go fuck yourself.
Ooh, yeah, go fuck yourself. I don't think that I could rationally get into something like that. I think that's just a huge overreach on Spartan Games' part. Because, well, I mean, and probably it's not, because they don't really have much to lose if their subsidiary falls off. And I'm probably using the term subsidiary incorrectly, but I'm about 8 ounces scotch deep, so... Let's just wrap it up with saying the models are unimpressive and I probably won't play the game.
See, I mean, I don't mind the Dendrenzi stuff. I actually liked it. But like I said, the biggest turnoff for me was that there
it's unimpressive.
No, you know, again, that's fair because it's Epic. Yeah. It's Epic scale.
No, bullshit. Firestorm. Even Games Workshop did some very, very nice stuff in
Epic. I agree. I'm not saying that
unless
Epic
you're
is
playing
bad.
Space Marines.
Hey-o. I'm not saying that Epic is bad because I agree. I like the Epic range. But what I'm saying is you don't get a lot of detail on Epic scale. And
I
that's
think
what
the
it
new
is.
Drinking game is going to be every time you say hey-o.
That and totally. No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Jesus. This is just a weird, weird day. Finish your drink, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, let me finish
this up. Gamer guest.
Oh, that's a mouthful of scotch. Okay, so stupidity check, I think can go all over the place at this point, but I want to drop it back down on Games Workshop. I mean, that's what we like to do. And just say there really was a fail actually having Marines in that starter kit and not just going with three more bikes and five more Terminators and just saying, you know what? Here's the game that you're going to play. If you want to get this starter kit, it's perfect to add into your existing list. Or, excuse me, if you're just getting into the game, it's perfect for you to build up a very easy to paint, quick to paint style of list that will literally be done in no time. Because, I mean, with the washes that Games Workshop provides, you could do a Deathwing Terminator list in fucking no time. So, I mean,
especially
you know,
if you bought an army painter brand like Bleachbone primer.
Yeah, that would also work. Well, actually,
start them as bone, give them a brown wash, pick out details, and you're fucking done.
You could prime white and do sepia.
Sepia's kind of yellowy, though. I don't know if it would look great.
It is not yellowy at all. I did all the bone in my lizardman with sepia.
That's true.
It is not yellow at all.
I was going to say, Lang has been
I know my watches
and inks for as long as I have known
and
you.
On that comment of I know my watches, fuck. That's Roll Jaded GamerCast for this week. My name is Lang, and I am drunk.
I am Nathan, and I wish I was more drunk.
You need to start drinking scotch. Have a good one.
Cheers.